Well, please open in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Continue through the Ten Commandments. We're on commandment number 4, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And before I read the text, I just want to draw your attention to two things. The first is that obviously I cannot and will not say everything that can be said about the Sabbath day. And I know I keep saying this again, so I encourage you to look to the exposition of the larger catechism on these matters and commentaries on those matters. But I'd also like to recommend another book to you, a book by a pastor in our denomination named Daniel Howe, who's written a book on the Christian Sabbath entitled Worship, Feasting, Rest, and Mercy. And he presents a delightfully positive, joyful approach to the Christian Sabbath, a very deep, comprehensive approach to how we should perceive and conceive of the Christian Sabbath. It's a wonderful expression of the Scripture's teaching of the Christian Sabbath. And I think, actually, if you go onto our church's website, there are several lectures that he gave on that topic from his book. So look up Daniel Howe, H-O-W-E, on our church's website under the audio section, and you'll find Laurelville talks on the topic of this idea of Sabbath rest. And so his book is Worship, Feasting, Rest, Mercy, the Christian Sabbath. It's published by Grass Market Press, a division of Crown and Covenant. The other thing I'll mention this morning, and it may be a glaring omission, so I want to make sure I point it out now, is that I am not going to be addressing the change of the seventh day to the first day in the Sabbath keeping. And so in the Old Testament, the saints would observe the Sabbath day on Saturday, on the seventh day. We as Christian believers observe it on the first day of the week, on Sunday. I'm not going to cover that here. If you're interested in an explanation for that, you might go on to Sermon Audio. I preached a sermon 2018 sometime on some Sabbath questions, where I address that issue. So if you're interested to pursue that further, there you go. So some resources for you to pursue. But with those things in mind, let's turn our attention to the reading of God's holy word. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 and then drop down to verse 8. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or the livestock, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless our time together as we consider your word. And Lord, we pray you would grant us the perspective that you would have of your holy day, and that you, Lord, would cause us to be blessed as we think about keeping and do keep by your grace this day you have given to us to rest and reflect on who you are and what you have done. Lead us in this by your Spirit and use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, I've found in my life, and perhaps you have too, that we are often in need of reminders to rest. Specifically, particularly in our culture that just seems to be a go, go, go culture, a culture which calls us to take on more than we can legitimately carry and bear, and it seems like it's a noble thing to take on a whole lot of things. We seem to forget to take time to rest. We forget to do that. And if we don't take some rest, if we aren't diligent to remind ourselves to take that rest, our bodies tend to remind us to rest for us. They tend to pop up some check engine lights, if you will, these little reminders to service yourself to get some rest before something catastrophic happens. And so the longer we go without taking some rest, we start to feel a little fatigued, we get tired. Maybe words don't come to our minds as quickly as they used to, or we start getting headaches. Maybe we start to become a little bit depressed, our blood pressure goes out of whack. All these things are reminders to us that we need to slow down and take some rest. And if we ignore them long enough, then our bodies start to force us to take rest. Our bodies will actually take us out to the point where we have to rest. They'll knock us down, and we have no choice but to rest and to recover. Sadly, we tend not to be good at remembering to rest. We tend not to be good to remember things anyway, and which is why the scriptures over and over and over again say what? Do you remember? Remember, right? Remember, remember, remember. The scriptures are always calling us to remember because we so often forget. And here again, we are called to remember something, a call to remember to rest. And thankfully, it's something that the Lord has worked into the fabric of creation, a reminder that we have once a week to rest. Clearly, the Lord knew that we would need it. He knew that we would need to remember to rest. And that's really the main point for you this morning. As we consider the fourth commandment, the call to you today is to remember to rest. Remember to rest. Now, as we seek to understand what God has for us here, it's always good to start by trying to understand the terms in the verse here, in the commandment here. And as I did last time, I want to do the same today. In the fourth commandment, God gives us his first positive command. The previous three were do not or thou shalt not. But now we have the first positive command given to us, which is the command to remember. Now, this idea behind the word for remember is not just a call to bring something to mind and to think about it. It is that, but it also includes the concept or idea of living in a way that is consistent with what you have brought to mind. Living in a way that is patterned after what you have now remembered. What have you brought into your mind? Okay, think about that. Now live in light of that. That's what it is to remember something. And it's in this way that the Lord calls his people to remember the Sabbath day, and then to keep it holy. So he calls his people to remember the Sabbath day. And this word for Sabbath comes from the word that means to cease or to desist some form of activity, but regularly is used to refer to rest. And we have a picture of what this Sabbath rest idea looks like when this commandment further down refers us back to the initial creation of the world. In Genesis chapter 2, where God rested after he created the world. We read in Genesis 2, 1 through 3, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." And so we see here in the fourth commandment and in Genesis 2 that God rested after he made the world. But what does it mean for God to rest? Well, the first thing I usually think of that comes into my mind when I think of rest is I think of sleep. Because I'm tired, right? I'm worn out. I'm weary. We need to rest. We need to get sleep because we're tired. But when we see God resting on the seventh day, we shouldn't think that he needs to do so because he's tired or burned out or weary. This is the almighty, unchanging God that we're talking about here. God does not grow weary as man grows weary. Nor should we think that this rest is the cessation of every and all activity. Because as Jesus points out in John 5, 17, and the writer of the Hebrews points out in chapter 1 of his letter, God is always working to sustain all things by his power. Yes, it is true that God ceases from his work of creation here, but he doesn't cease from all of his work, does he? If he did, we would snap out of existence. We would not be here anymore. In fact, in him we live and move and have our being. He's continually working. So what does it mean then that God rested? Well, J.G. Voss, I think, gives us a really helpful insight into what God's rest means. Listen to what he says. He says, in the Bible, the word rest has a more positive meaning than we attach to it today. Here in Genesis 2:2, the meaning is that a great work had been accomplished and God paused in joy and satisfaction over it. So this idea of rest is him pausing and taking satisfaction and joy over what has been done. And so for God to rest on the seventh day, according to Voss, is for God to look back over everything that he has made and to take it all in, take in the wonder and beauty, the marvelousness of it all, and to enjoy what he has done. And so to rest is to think about, to ponder, to reflect, and to enjoy this great work that God has done. And so right here at the beginning, we're instructed about what the Sabbath day is for. It is for rest, yes, to cease from a form of work so that you can ponder and reflect and enjoy the great work that God has done. That's what this day was created for. And God made it holy. He set it apart for this very purpose. God made this day to reflect upon his great works. And Adam and Eve saw him do this. God rested on the seventh day, which was the day after he had made Adam and Eve on the sixth day. Did you ever think about that? And so Adam and Eve would have seen God rest himself and specifically set apart, set aside, and bless the Sabbath day in which he rests and reflects and takes delight and enjoys the work of his hands. They were to see that he set it apart for that particular purpose. And they then were to reflect and enjoy in this work as well, along with their Creator. And specifically to reflect and enjoy the fact that God had created them to be in fellowship with him. What an amazing thing this was, that man was created to be in fellowship with God, to delight in his presence, to enjoy his company. This was a day that they could focus on that. A day was made for them to enjoy fellowship with their God. It's here in Genesis 2 that we see God setting aside a day for man to worship and enjoy him and his works. And it's here in the fourth commandment that God is reminding his people, he's reminding us to remember this Sabbath day and what it's for, to keep it holy, to keep it set apart from all of the other days of the week so that we can truly find our delight and rest in the Lord. And this fits with how God instructs that this day is to be remembered. He describes for his people, he describes for us how the Sabbath day is to be remembered. How the Sabbath day is to be remembered. And the first thing that God identifies as a means for remembering the Sabbath day and for keeping it holy is that he calls us to work. Yeah, he does. You notice that? He calls us to work on the six other days. Do all of our work on those six other days of the week, thus keeping the Sabbath free from all of that work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. That word for labor is more of a generic word for work. So anything that you might be toiling at to accomplish or to do something. So it's not just your job, but it could refer to such things as housework or school work or any kind of service or work for other people or just plain work. You know, whatever you're working at to accomplish something. But the second word that God uses in verse 9 there that we translate work is more specific and identifies something closer to what we do for a job, like our business or employment or something along those lines, that which we engage in for an income. God calls us to be actively engaged in these things. Notice that this is a command. God commands us to work, to be actively engaged in these things, not to be slothful, but to be diligent so that when the Sabbath day comes, those things will not impinge on that day of rest. All of those things will be taken care of. And we don't need to worry about them because they're done. They're finished because we've obeyed God's word to work. And now we can rest. And what we find here is that the Lord is quite generous in what he gives us as far as time goes, isn't he? He gives us 6 days. 6 whole days, reserving only one for himself, in which we can engage in all of that work that we are to be about in this world. 6 days to do what we usually do. Friends, the Lord is generous. The Lord gives us a lot of time to do what we must do in this world. But so often we can think of the Sabbath day as being one of restriction, of preventing us from getting done all of these things that we want to get done. And we focus on how it is a burden keeping us from doing all of these other things that we want to do. But might I suggest that this is more akin to the perspective that Satan presented to Adam and Eve in the garden. Of all of the trees God had given them, they could freely eat, and yet Satan has them fixate on that one that they can't eat. Right? He narrows their focus down and causes them to forget the graciousness and the abundant goodness God had given to them and focuses on the restriction. May we not do that in our minds and in our hearts and remember that the Lord is gracious. He's given us so much time to do everything else that we have to do and has only reserved one day for himself in which you are called to delight wholly in him. And so this requires us to manage our time well, doesn't it? To ensure that we are not taking on too much, that we're not too busy. In a way, this is God's approbation to you to say no to things. When he commands you to do all of your work in those 6 days, but rest on the seventh day. If you find yourself so busy that you can't do that, and you are trying to manage your time as well as you can, then God is telling you that you can say no. Say no if you are too busy. So this requires us to manage our time well and to ensure that we're not too busy, but also to be diligent with our work and what we do so that we're not staying up too late on Saturday night involved with work or with entertainment to the point where we are overly tired on the Sabbath day, not truly able to engage in this work of reflecting and resting in what God has called us to do here. So we remember the Sabbath day and we keep it holy when we work diligently and faithfully in the 6 days the Lord has given us to do such things, so that we can remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy by actually resting on it. And friends, that's the second way we remember the Sabbath day. The first is by working diligently the first 6 days, but then resting. We rest on the Sabbath day. But what does this rest actually look like? How do we keep, remember, observe the day? How do we rest well on the Lord's day? And there's often a lot of talk about what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And people are prone to make lots of lists for what they think people should be engaged in and what they shouldn't be engaged in. But the problem with such things is they tend to begin to stack up pretty quickly. And then it turns into a pretty heavy, burdensome list of things that we need to work at to keep. And so we've turned the Lord's Day into a day of work, and it turns into a kind of a legalistic experience on this day of rest. And so what I don't want to do this morning is give you a whole list of things to do or not to do on the Sabbath day to rest, but I want to give you some principles, some do principles and some don't principles that I think the Scripture gives us that we can hopefully apply with wisdom in our own stations and circumstances in our lives. There'll be a couple maybe more pointed applications, but hopefully these are some broader applications or principles here. And so what principles should we observe to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, to rest? Well, again, there are some do principles, there are some don't principles. Let's start first with the don't principles, because that's what the Lord does when he's describing how we are to rest on the Sabbath day. He says, don't do something. And what is that? The first thing that we recognize from the commandment here is that we are not to work. Don't work, right? Now, this, of course, means not engaging in the things that we usually do the other 6 days of the week. God explicitly says, you shall not do any work. So lay aside, cease from all of your usual work. That's pretty straightforward. I don't think I need to expound on what that means. Cease from doing all of that work that we talked about before. But also recognize that not all work is physical, as we know, right? Work can be mental as well. And so we're not only to cease from our usual physical activities of work, but should cease from thinking about and speaking about such things as well. Our minds need to be free to think about the things of the Lord on the Sabbath day. And so our bodies and our minds should rest from our usual work. Now, just as a quick aside here, the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day, not the Sabbath hour. Right? So we're not just talking about the hour we have, or, well, if I go long, the hour and a half, the hour 45 minutes of time we have here. He says, the Sabbath day, keep it holy. It's the whole day we're talking about here. Now, so we rest our bodies, we rest our minds from our usual work. Now, this is actually an act of faith, isn't it? I think it's an act of faith because you might have a very busy week ahead of you. You might have a lot of projects, a lot of exams, a lot of meetings, a lot of running around to do in the week ahead of you. You might have a lot of things to plan for and to prep for, and you might think to yourself, I've got so much to do. Boy, I would really like to have a head start on that. And this is kind of like a day off, and so I'm going to use this day as an opportunity to get a head start on the things that are going to be happening later in this week so I can better make it through this week. But God says rest. Don't engage in those things. And yet the fear is, I know that fear, the fear is, but if I don't, then I'm not going to be prepared well enough, or I'm not going to be able to get done everything I need to get done. But God says, rest. Be still. Be at peace. Remember what God said through Moses, be still, be silent. The Lord will fight for you. Be at rest and have faith that when you get to those points in the week, that the Lord will provide the focus. The Lord will provide the grace. The Lord will provide the strength for you to do what you need to do to glorify Him. And so rest in Him now and rest in Him then, trusting that He will give you what you need to carry out the tasks that He has set before you. So the first principle is don't work. Another don't principle we see from this commandment is that we're not to cause others to work either. Look at verse 10 again. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Okay, we've already talked about that. You, or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. These are people who would be working for you, or you would have working on your behalf. God is saying that you are to rest, but also you're not to cause other people to work either. God calls us not to have or require others to work at our request, our demand, by our actions, or on our behalf. And Nehemiah picks up on this concept in Nehemiah 13, verses 15 through 22, when he records this. Listen to what he says. And so in those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath day, and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them on the day when the people were selling food. Tyrians also who lived in the city brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath day to the people of Judah in Jerusalem itself. Then I confronted the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this evil thing that you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? All right, so what's going on here? Well, the people of God were not supposed to be working. We know that from the fourth commandment, right? But what do we see here happening in this scenario? Who is working? Well, both the people of Judah and foreigners as well, those from Tyre, Tyrians. And so you have people who aren't even part of the people of God doing business in the holy city of Jerusalem where the people of God are living and dwelling. And why are they doing business in the city of Jerusalem? Because they have willing buyers. They have willing customers. And what we see is that the people of Israel were willing buyers on the day that the Lord said, you shouldn't be engaging in this kind of business. You shouldn't be engaging in this kind of commerce. You shouldn't be buying things from others so they would be tempted or desirous of making a profit off of you. In fact, you're actually causing these other people to work on the Sabbath day, which is to be a day of rest for them as well, because this goes all the way back to creation, friends. This is a creation ordinance, a day of rest for everyone. And so we're not to work, we're not to cause others to work. And I think this should impact the way we think about how we use this day. I know it's a very common thing in our culture. I used to do this all the time, is to go to church in the morning and then after worship go out to lunch and eat with your friends or your family members at a restaurant. And I remember enjoying wonderful, blessed times of fellowship with others, very sweet times of fellowship with others and hospitality. But then I started thinking about it, and wait a minute, I'm causing these people to work. And they're working for me. I have them working for me. It's interesting how we actually call the people who wait on our tables, what do we call them? Call them servers. The fourth commandment says that your manservant and your maidservant aren't supposed to be working on this day. Well, we don't have male servants and female servants like they did in the Old Testament, but I think this is a pretty close modern application to people serving us, doing our bidding, working for us on this Sabbath day so we can enjoy rest, but not them, just us. No, friends, we are to rest, and they are to rest. God calls us not to work, nor to have others work for us or on our behalf. It is a day of rest. Well, something else we see here in the Old Testament, a third don't principle, is that we're not to pursue our own pleasures or delights or even entertainments, if you will. And this is something that God points out in Isaiah 58, verses 13 through 14. God says there, if you turn back your foot from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasures or delights, your own desires on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways and seeking your own pleasures or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of heaven, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord spoken. So in Isaiah, the Lord is calling his people away from pursuing their own pleasures, their own entertainment and delights on the Sabbath day, and to actually take delight in him instead, which is actually something that he says is going to cause us to grow. As he says, if you take delight in the Lord, you will ride on the heights of heaven. You will be blessed when you delight in the Lord. That's a basic principle of God's word, isn't it? When you delight in the Lord, you will be blessed. And what day, what one day in particular has he given to us to focus on him and delight in him? Well, it's the Sabbath day, right? It's the Lord's day. Just one day. Remember, again, just one day out of all of the other days we have to do, all of the other things that we have to do and want to do. 6 days we have the opportunity to pursue our own work, our own entertainment. But the Lord reserves one for himself that we would focus upon him and take delight in him and actually find rest and relief in him. And so how tragic it is for us to actually set that aside and turn and pursue our own pleasures, our own delights, our own entertainments, the things that we think are going to restore us and give us rest and build us up, when God is over here saying, listen, I will do that for you. Come to me and I will give you rest here. And not all these things that you think are going to give you rest, but come to me. Instead, I will do that for you. This is a day I've made for you to find rest and delight in me. And so it's a call to turn away from seeking our own pleasures and enjoyments in the things of this world and to find pleasure and enjoyment in God. It's not a call away from enjoyment. It's not a call away from delight. Notice that. It's not a call away from delight, as so many people think that it is, but it's a call to the truest and purest source of that delight, the Lord Himself. And so these are the don't principles. Don't work, don't cause others to work, and don't pursue your own delights and entertainments and pleasures in this world, but instead turn to the Lord on His day for those things. Well, what about the do principles? What are we to be about on this Lord's Day that we might experience rest as we have described it? Remember, rest is that delighting in reflecting on what He has done. Well, the first we have is worship. This is what we are to be about on the Lord's Day. In Leviticus 23:3, God repeats the fourth commandment and specifically focuses in on worship. He says, 6 days your work shall be done, but on the seventh day it's the Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation, or a calling together, assembly for the Lord. It's a day in which we come into corporate worship to remember and reflect on God as our Creator and as our Redeemer. And related to this, but in addition to this call for us to be coming to worship, is to gather together as God's people and experience fellowship with one another. The writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 10, "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near." And so the Sabbath day is a day that God has set aside for us to come and worship Him and fellowship with one another as God's people. Two marvelous, beautiful, wonderful things. Something else we see that the Lord's Day is to be for us, that we can rest, a due principle, is that it is to be a day of rest. Physical rest. Again, God repeats this fourth commandment in a very specific application in Exodus 23:12. Listen to what He says. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, so that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman, the alien, may also be refreshed. And that word for refreshed carries the idea to recover, almost literally to catch one's breath after you've been doing a whole lot of work. The idea is to physically recover, physically have some rest. And so the Sabbath day is meant for you to have a day of physical recovery from your work. A day of physical rest. It's a day in which you can rightly say, "I shall take a nap." And God is saying, "Do it. Do it." I know some of you are very faithful at keeping this aspect of the commandment. Do it. And so take advantage of that holy blessing that you have to take a nap. And hopefully as your younger children grow, they'll grow in their appreciation for nap taking. I know they don't want to do that now, but they'll come to understand the blessing of sleep. And so we have worship, we have times of fellowship, we have physical rest, but we also find in the Scriptures that when necessary, we do what is necessary. We see that it is a day to do what is necessary. Listen to what Matthew records in chapter 12 of his gospel. "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry." They didn't have food to eat. They didn't have any food with them. They were hungry. "And they began to pluck heads of grain from a field, and they began to eat them." Another gospel writer says that they were cracking them open in their hands. They were preparing this food so that they could eat it. "And when the Pharisees saw that, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath.'" They're working to prepare a meal, essentially. "And Jesus said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the temple of, ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath by doing the works in the temple and are guiltless?" They're guiltless. "I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath day. So does that mean that you're just supposed to sit on your hands before and after worship, not even working to make breakfast, lunch, or dinner for yourself or for your family? I mean, that's working, isn't it? Yes, it is. It is working. But it's necessary for life. You have to eat. And the Lord is not just the Lord of the Sabbath, but He is the Lord of life. He wants you to live and enjoy this life. And so the idea here is that Jesus is allowing, He's blessing the needful things of life that exist so that we can continue living in this world in a restful way. And so preparing and eating food, or people that are running utility companies, people who are police officers or firefighters, things like that, these are needful things of life. These are acceptable things, forms of work on the Sabbath day. So working to prepare your meal and even cleaning up after your meal, these are okay. These are okay. Well, the last do principle I'll mention here is the call to show mercy. The call to show mercy. Again, Matthew 12, the very next scene we have, and Jesus went from there and entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. Which is incredible to me, because they already have it set in their minds that Jesus is a miracle worker and he's been healing people. He's been restoring people. He's been helping people. They know that to be true. But they're so focused on the fact that they don't like him, they hate him, they've hardened their hearts against him. Let's trap him because we know he's going to be good. Let's trap him because we know he's going to help people. What wickedness and hardness in their hearts. So they might accuse him, and he said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored healthy like the other. I'm so thankful for doctors and for nurses and for emergency room staff who minister to people every day and who even minister to people on the Lord's Day and show mercy to people. Jesus is showing us that it is okay, it's good to do good on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's Day. Works of mercy, works of help, works of generosity are blessed things to do on the Lord's Day. And you know, if doing the dishes on the Lord's Day actually turns out to be a work of mercy for your wife or for your mom, Jesus is saying, do the dishes. Do good to her. Have mercy on her. Maybe it's even a work of necessity. But do these things. It is good to do good on the Sabbath. And so these are the don't principles. These are the do principles for rest as we seek to remember the Sabbath day. And when we follow them, friends, these things free us up to rest in the Lord. They free us up to actively engage and reflecting and taking satisfaction in who God is and what He has done for us. By working 6 days and resting on the seventh, we remember the Sabbath day and we keep it holy. But ultimately, why are we doing this anyway? Like, what's the point? Like, why are we to do this? Why are we to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy? Well, first of all, God commands it. We could just stop right there, right? God calls us to do this, and so we do it. He commands us to do it. But we also see in this commandment, and it's quoted of Genesis 2, that we are to do this in following the Lord's example of work, rest. And we follow His example so that our focus is on glorifying Him and finding satisfaction in Him, the very thing we were created to do. That is your chief end, if you didn't know that. To glorify God and to enjoy Him. And He's given us a day where we can really focus on that. Well, how wonderful. How wonderful. But secondly, we remember the Sabbath day and we keep it holy because we need it. We need it. Our minds and our bodies need rest. They weren't designed to be run continuously. And the Lord, in His grace, in His mercy, in His kindness, and in His goodness, gives His loved ones rest. Not just in the evening, but He gives it to them a whole day, every day, or every week. A whole day, every week, we can rest. We need a day to physically and mentally recover. But brothers and sisters, we also need the Sabbath day to grow. To grow in sanctification, to grow to be more like Jesus. Listen to what God says in Ezekiel 20:12. He says, "Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." The Sabbath day is a sign that the Lord sanctifies His people. The Sabbath day is set apart by God to show us that He is the one who has set us apart and continues to set us apart as He changes us. It's actually a day that He has blessed and specifically fills with sanctifying power. Genesis 2:3, when Moses records that God blessed the Sabbath day, that word for blessed includes the idea of filling it with power. Filling it with strength to do something. And so the Lord's Day is a day that changes us because God has designed this day to do that very thing. Because again, think of what you do on the Lord's Day. What are those do principles? It's a day where you come and you engage with God. And when you come into the presence of God, you can't help but be changed, for one. But think about all of the other things that happen on the Lord's Day. You go to worship. You read the scriptures, you're in the word, you're in prayer, you're in the sacraments, you have the fellowship of the saints, these means of grace especially designed to transform you from one degree of glory to another. This day, the whole day, is filled with power by God to change you, to sanctify you. And so friends, take every advantage of it to grow in grace. We need this day. We need this day to rest. We need this day to be changed. We need it to grow. But friends, we also desperately need a day of reorientation. A reorientation for our hearts and our minds. Every other day of the week, we are confronted with the passions and pleasures and delights and the gods of this world calling for our affections and for our allegiances. Every other day of the week, we find ourselves working to accomplish what we need in this life for our positions and for our possessions. And every day of the week, we're confronted with the lies of the evil one and even our own hearts, which say that we somehow must earn and maintain our relationship with God by our own works, that we can somehow pay for our sins in some way. And so, friends, we need the Sabbath day. We need the Lord's Day to reorient us, to remind us, to put our minds at rest in the wisdom and direction of God's Word for our lives, to remember and rest in the promises that God has made to you for your life and for your well-being. He will care for you. And we also need this day to reorient us and remind us to rest in the finished work of our Savior Jesus Christ for our salvation. See, God calls us to cease from our work on this day as a reminder, as a picture, as a blessed truth that we can cease from our work of trying to justify ourselves before God. It's a reminder to rest by faith, to trust in the work that Jesus has already done to bring us peace and to bring us back into that fellowship with God for which we were created. This is what Jesus has done. To bring us peace and fellowship with our Creator and our Redeemer, and to delight and take satisfaction in the work of Christ that has brought you there. That's what this day is for. Just as God, in His rest, surveyed the work that He had done at creation and took satisfaction and delight in it, so too did Jesus in His resurrection survey the work that He had done in redemption and take satisfaction and delight in the salvation of your souls. Isaiah 53:11 puts it this way when it foretells of Jesus. He says, out of the anguish of his soul shall he see and be satisfied, because he makes many to be accounted righteous, and he will bear their iniquities. And this is the rest that God calls you into today. It is the rest of the gospel that God calls you into today, to remember on this day. It's into the rest of laying down your attempts at salvation, laying down the works to pay for your sin, and to embrace the finished work of Jesus for your eternal life. It is into the rest of reflecting upon and delighting in the work that Jesus has accomplished for all who trust in him. And so praise God, brothers and sisters, for the Sabbath day, this wonderful reminder to rest, this wonderful reminder to rest by faith in the goodness and mercy and gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, remember to rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of rest that you've given to us for all of these glorious reasons. And Lord, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would lead us to truly rest in your Son, Jesus, and use this day to rest and reflect on all of the work that he has done for us, and not to cloud it out, not to push it away, not to complicate it or cast a shadow over it by what else we might bring into this day. But Lord, give us a pure day with pure sight, with pure worship, for the pure gospel on this day of rest. We ask it for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.